Welcome to Going Out of Your Mind on Vivid Life Radio. On each show, you'll be taken on a journey out of your mind and into your heart and inner wisdom by brilliant and inspiring guests who will deeply enrich your life. And here's your hosts, award-winning authors, meditation and mindfulness teachers, Ed and Deb Shapiro.
Hi everybody, I'm Deb Shapiro.
And I'm Ed Shapiro.
And we've got a treat for you today. We really do. It's a gorgeous sunny day here, and the leaves are all coming out, and now we've got this amazing character with us who's been there, done everything, and got loads of T-shirts.
So we're going out of our mind. That's what we're going.
So Jared Rosen's gone from being an artist in Manhattan in the 70s to having shamanic initiations in Peru, to working in psychiatric hospitals with his own form of guided imagery, to nearly dying from a fairly rare illness, which tested every principle he had ever lived by. And now he's the author of Drowning in the Light, which puts all his experiences together under one roof, as it were. So, Jared, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. It's great to be on the show.
You sound like you've... You know, you've experienced a lot. I mean, some people would love to experience the light, and you're talking about drowning in it.
Well, I think that the title was inspired many years ago, actually. I was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I think it was around 1987, and Shirley MacLaine had just had a book that came out, Dancing in the Light, and that inspired me because I had felt like my search has been more like drowning in the light, like, you know, whatever that may mean to you.
Well, it reminds me of an LSD experience I had in 1966 when all of a sudden it was about 69 or something, a long time ago, and I'm suddenly becoming the Messiah, and it's like, oh my God, the light is coming on so strong. Oh God, I'm the Messiah. And I said, no, give it a Ram Dass. And then I was talking to Ram Dass, and I said, Ram Dass, you know, I had this experience that I was going to be the Messiah. So I said, give it to Ram Dass, and he said, thanks a lot.
I was going to say, drowning in the light to me sounds like too much light. I just can't take it anymore.
Well, actually, it's an interesting story. I needed to write this book. It was with me for quite some time. I have written several books, more in the nonfiction realm with, you know, specific, you know, current affairs or issues around money and security and other things that weren't directly relative to my life. But when this book came out, it just started coming out of me, and I saw that the light really is the great metaphor, as we all use that in spiritual terms. But my father actually was a lighting fixture salesman. So when I was a kid, I became really fascinated with light and electricity and actually put a bobby pin in the wall socket when I was about maybe 3 years old and went out of my body. And actually, it was like I literally saw stars. I mean, like, I, like, became the stars, and I remember that, and that was the beginning of the search. And then I was like, you know, okay, here you are in this apartment, you know, in these four walls, after being liberated and experiencing everything. So, you know, this search, I think, for most people is quite filled with self-annihilation, I believe. And I think that a lot of times when people choose this path, in their life to, like, discover why they're here or discover their soul or a deeper meaning, usually they create experiences that are out of the norm and many times, you know, can test sanity and things like that.
So what do you mean by annihilation?
Well, actually, it's interesting that, you know, I shared my first, you know, spiritual experience, or we could say that, you know, when I was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, move ahead a little on the timeline. I was living in New York, and I was an artist in the late 1970s in Soho. And I really loved that lifestyle because it was so edgy. And mm-hmm. I kind of pushed myself over the edge, you know. Insanity to me was sort of like, wow, you know, Van Gogh. But out of that phase, I actually kind of got ill, and then I started practicing yoga. This was around 1980. And literally, I bought a book I think it was Richard Hittleman's Guide to Yoga. I mean, now yoga is like a multi-billion-dollar industry. I mean, sub-industries. There's yoga fashion's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Probably yoga bars to eat. So I'm practicing this plow position, which many of you, anyone's ever done yoga, where you put your legs and feet over your head.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, like, something happened. It was like this rip I felt.
Gosh.
Before I knew it, I was stars and sound, whether you hear like the ohm, you know, that sound. I was that sound, and I was this, I like completely disappeared. Now, you know, prior to that, my only spiritual experience I had was my bar mitzvah when I was 13.
Oh, you pay.
About getting enough money to buy a set of drums. So, you know, I was like, and then I went to a bookstore, and I searched, and back then it was like the occult section. You had to go like really in like the back of the bookstore, you know, and like you didn't want anyone to see you, you know. And I picked up this book. I think it was called Kundalini, Spiritual Enlightenment or Psychosis. And I started reading it, and I realized that the experience I had is kind of this classic, what they call Kundalini, where whatever the psycho energy that exists within us is burst forward, and these centers that we have identified as chakras become sort of blown out, and one actually experiences something other than a normal everyday New York City afternoon.
Well, I wouldn't be sure of that. I was from New York, and I would say half the city is at least on the same journey as you.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of like, you know, it is like Kundalini, just as soon as you get off the airplane and JFK.
So you went from that experience. Now, you talked about illness, though. Something happened for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, if we go along the timeline, so what happens is during this process, I left the art world, and literally, I mean, I was, you know, right there among, you know, I had to be in the art world because that was the only dream I had was.
Well, that was the hippest scene in New York. I was in that same area and everything, and I was doing my thing, but what you were going through was like really what was happening at the time. That was so in, and so everything. So the whole switch from you to be an artist and then be a writer is very interesting.
Well, the thing is, the artist is still in me, and it actually, and thank you, I mean, yeah, it was a very interesting time in New York. That was like the time when New York was like, there was, you know, it was going through an economic crisis, we can call it that. Remember, I think it was on the cover of the Daily News, you know, Ford, New York, you know, Ford to New York, drop dead. But anyway, during that period of time, I was exploring psychedelics myself prior to my Kundalini and my yoga in this new phase. And I had actually taken quite a bit of mushrooms, and this was in, you know, in the bowels of Lower Manhattan. And I was robbed by gunpoint.
What year is this? What year is this?
Spiritual experience there, because I actually kind of popped out of the reality, and I actually saw that everything, that like you could actually rearrange the dream. So I've always had these things. Now, as an artist, I pushed myself to this edge that I actually began to paint pictures of UFOs and things like that. I was kind of, but I had shows and things. And but what the turning point and what the shift and to answer your question, Deb, like how did I get to writing? I didn't. And to get to the question around illness, what happened was I then went on a path for, well, since 1980 to around 2008, which, you know, started in the search and then actually really getting more into research and understanding energy and getting into building and creating systems of self-development and all these things. And during the whole time, actually, you know, never had a health problem, really began to investigate and research that we're actually made of light and we're holographic and all that kind of stuff.
So let's just stop here for a minute because we're going to have a break.
2008, I wake up with bruises all over my body. And this is after many, many years of being on the path, all natural health, you know, totally, you know, vegan lifestyle, all these things. And here in 2008, I was diagnosed with a rare blood disorder. So that's how we go from zero to 2008. And,
okay,
and
so
that
let's
was,
come,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, let's
do
that.
Let's come back to this in just a few minutes. We just have to take a break, and then we can pick up where we left off. We're talking with Jared Rosen.
And what's your website number? How can people know about you?
Well, actually, right now, the book is on Amazon, and just go and search I.J. Rosen, R-O-S-E-N, I.J. Rosen, And the book is called Drowning in the Light, and it's right there.
Okay.
And we're Ed and Deb Shapiro on edanddebshapiro.com, and this is Vivid Life Radio. Please tune in, vividlife.me.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach Pam Butler guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Hi, this is Deb Shapiro. We're back with Jared Rosen on Going Out of Your Mind. And Jared, we were talking about, this is the bit that fascinates me most. You've spent years practicing natural medicine, natural remedies, vegan lifestyle, whatever you name it, you've done it. And then you get seriously ill and you have to dive into regular allopathic modern medicine. Tell us about that transition.
Well, the transition was very interesting because actually, you know, many of the years, and when you read the book, you take the journeys with me, whether it's from the mountains of Peru or the experiences I've had, you know, working with kids in the desert in New Mexico, whatever, you know, those stories, during that period of time, I had no health, I don't even have health insurance, and many times I didn't. I really believed that I created my own reality and that, you know, as long as I kept myself tuned in, that I was disease-free. And I didn't trust the medical model, and I had, you know, my issues. And then I worked quite a few years in the medical model, in psychiatric and in hospitals, and I understood both sides of the equation, but yet I still had this attitude that, you know, as long as you keep yourself, you know, well. And what happened was in 2008 I came out of a divorce and I started seeing bruises all over my body, and it was, I mean, the whole experience was kind of surreal, and because some of them were like the size of a pancake, and they would come out, you know, out of nowhere. And eventually I was diagnosed with a disorder where my antibodies are killing platelets. It's, you know, autoimmune. So once again, you know, it's like, well, is this the result of something that I did wrong? You know, and so I did actually, you know, I was hospitalized in 2011. It turned out that for about 4 years, and I was monitored by a hematologist over that time, but for 4 years I never took a drug, I never did any surgery, and my platelet count, it was like 90% of my platelets were missing at any time, which means that I really basically, and I was like, you know, riding horses in Mexico, and all these things, I mean, anything, just an airbag that went off accidentally would have killed me, because I didn't have enough platelets for internal bleeding. And yet during that time, I was still like, I would have like, all of a sudden, I would have like spontaneous bleed in my gum. And I would use my own practice of tuning in the meditation with the breath and moving into the energy and moving it to the cellular level. And I would stop it. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this is what I'm here to do. Like, even if I like had a massive injury, I would be able to control my bleeding because I can master it, because it's all holographic projection. And now the whole time my wife and my hematologist were like, you know, when's the other shoe going to drop? And out of nowhere in 2015, it did. And my platelet count just dropped to zero. And I was,
but you know,
I was near
death. You know, it's so funny when you say that. It sounds so inspiring. It's really wonderful, because you have really very good energy. You have this really positive, caring energy. And I feel that has everything to do with our health.
Yeah, but it didn't. That's the whole point.
I know, but it still does. It's listening. It does, because it has. Who's to say what it would be without it?
True.
Well, actually, you know, I can tell you that I actually am extraordinarily healthy. I just have an autoimmune, and a lot of people have autoimmune things. We don't know what they come out of. And the things that I've done to improve my health, like, you know, even though it's a joke being gluten-free, it's not, because I feel like that could very possibly have been the precipitator of this whole autoimmune. Something's whacking out our bodies. But the thing, there's not a specific message, because it's all about the story. I really, really, that's the art to me, is the storytelling. But if there's any, there's no message, but I think when people come out of it, if they were similar to me and feel like they create their own reality and they have like some of the programming that happens a lot of times on the spiritual path, which is, you know, I've created my own reality. Why did I create this? There must be a reason why I created it. So, and then, you know, you can go crazy and like delving into it. And like it becomes your full-time job is going into it. And like, you know, what are the underlying emotions? What's going on? Is there trauma?
It's important to have a balance of any things, because our body, where this body is a chemistry set. This body is a chemistry set, and it's important to, through meditation, through the ability to really go deep. That means not to depend on the mind. The mind is a perfect servant, but a terrible master. The mind and all the questions we do and all the things we do, ultimately, to me, don't really make sense, because when you come into your heart, when you go deeper and you see the wisdom that we really are, then we can be kind to our minds, to our bodies, to our emotions, like a mother with a child. We need to love ourselves so deeply, beyond anything, whether we're like a mother, whether you're good or bad, mother loves you. So when we love each other, when we love ourselves especially, I think it's very healing.
Yes, but there's also times when we do need interaction.
Always. I'm not saying it's the only.
Right. That I think this is an important moment for people who are listening who also have illnesses or whatever, but that we can't always heal ourselves. We do need help, and it's as God-given as everything else.
Well, yeah, we always look at it where we go to a doctor, and then sometimes we might need acupuncture, sometimes we might need, you know, physical therapy of a sort. We're here to really be friends to ourselves and take care of ourselves.
But I don't think that's the point here, honey.
I know it's not the point, but it's so important that we have that attitude, because if you have a depressing one, it's hard.
Yeah. But I'm really fascinated with what Jared experienced because of so many years without the medical input. And
right.
Then having to use it.
I can give you a great metaphor, and this metaphor really works for me, and it probably will work for anyone if they overlay it to their own life and where they are. We are really like a full spectrum, like a keyboard, and there's the low end, which is dense physical matter, and there's the high end of the high notes and the higher frequency, which is energy. E equals mc squared. Energy and matter are interchangeable. They really are. So thoughts and feelings are energy, and they have an impact on the physical. But once something's on the physical level, it actually, once it's at that dense level of physical matter, at a cellular level, then there's advanced science. Even though, you know, yes, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, are criminals and all that stuff. I've been there for 40 years, whatever. But at the same time, they're also, the billions of dollars that they have, they're inventing things like what they've invented that I take every night. That only keeps me alive. I'm perfectly normal. And I could have been dead if I did. It's a one pill. Now, God knows how much it costs if you don't have health insurance. But that's not the issue. The fact is, so as far as the spectrum goes, you know, if you're all the way on the dense end of it and you don't regard your energy, then everything, that's where people get sick and diseased, because
totally
they're not clearing all the, and that's what stress-related diseases is festering. You know, that third grade teacher, she's ruined my life, you know. You know, I just, you know.
A brilliant analogy. Yeah, very brilliant analogy. What do you feel you've learned most from this whole process?
Well, what I've learned most is love. which is always the ultimate lesson, because it's ultimately why we're in this dream together we call the world, is to experience that we are whole and one. And what happened for me was my wife, I got remarried in 2010, and really truly feel like, you know, and probably you guys feel the same way, that, you know, we were always been like your soulmate. Once you meet your soulmate, it's like you've always been with them, you know. It's like, oh yeah, we've never been apart, you know, because there is no time. And that and the greatest thing that I really have learned is level of devotion that I've experienced for my wife, and that level, that depth, that infinite depth of love, is truly where we all really want to be, and we can, and not just, you know, soulmates, man and woman, man and man, woman and woman, whatever, but soulmates with the soul of all that we are, that universal soul, that where there's no, where we're selfless, and that love, it's just, it's like, you know, the wave recognizes the ocean and enjoys the ocean and can, like, forget about the wave for a moment.
I think that's what meditation is. For me, one of the things I'm wondering if you experience in meditation, I'm noticing that I've been doing it, you know, since the 60s, and what I'm noticing is we become more beautiful, more beautiful, more beautiful. Every human being is so beautiful within themselves, as long as they don't get stuck into the image of what they think they are, but they could just be themselves, whether they're whatever they are, except that we're all the same in the sense we go through human conditions. We love, we hate, we feel all those emotions. Hopefully through our meditation, we see it. And then we can be able to befriend our friends. We can befriend our enemies. And so yoga has taught me that. Meditation has taught me that. And I think the work that you're doing enables individuals to be so much more beautiful. It's like we're all just amazing. And what do you say?
I love it. And actually, that's, besides writing a book, I'm also a publisher, and I have been for many years. And especially I love playing in the digital media space, and we have a company, Dream Sculpt. And we actually are incubating new authors, and specifically because this is my soul story. We all have soul stories, and our soul stories are really important to share, even just to write for ourselves, you know. And there's archetypical struggles that go on in each soul story. There's always the dark night of the soul, or dark nights of the soul, where, you know, like, you know, plants, you know, everything discharges at night and everything charges during the day. So we really have an amazing opportunity when we tap into that, what I call spiritual electricity. That's that sea where we're all joined, that sea of energy and or electricity, and we can turn up our dial. Like when I was a kid, you know, and my dad would take me to the lighting fixture stores, and there were all these lighting fixtures, and there were all these switches, and it was like, if I could get my hand on the switches, it was so cool to turn them up, and the filament, and that's who we are. We're that filament. That's the soul. It's like the filament that touches the source. You know, our ego.
Well, you're so cool. You're really,
yeah,
really,
man.
Cool. We have 2 minutes left, so tell us once again how we can reach you.
Well, before we do
absolutely.
That, I just
want to... Absolutely. Well, if you want to write a book, and or you're writing a book, Dream Sculpt is our website. We have the best team, all-star team of people, DreamSculpt. Dream Sculpt, DreamSculpt.
Great site, I love it.
And if you want to get the book and review it, I want to hear who's reading this.
Dave
Rosen,
ROFEN
on Amazon.
Jared, I just want to ask you before we finish, what's different about, you know, everybody wants to write a book. There's nobody I know who doesn't think they've got a story that they want to tell people. So what is it about your book that people should read it?
I think why people would really get a lot of value out of my book is because I've condensed in a very, very small book, like 20 years of research into all areas of spiritual and science, and I've taken that and I've turned it into a dark comedy with spiritual insights, so it's sort of like distilled, like homeopathy. There's a lot of potency, and when you read the book, you go through these experiences. You don't have to go to Peru and drink things through your nostrils to you know, to have them. I did that for you.
Beautifully good.
And share on Amazon.
Especially when you can drink inside. You can drink the inner nectar, but Amazon.
Yes.
Yeah, so
there you go.
Amazon.
Exactly.
Everybody.
That's where we drink the nectar.
And you'll also get all this information on vividlife.me. Everything we spoke of, anything you want to know, vividlife.me, the place to go.
So is there anything else you would like to add, Jared? Because I know you've got 100 different stories you can tell us, but is there anything else you'd like to let the people know?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that what you're doing and the whole concept of Vivid Life is really this sort of eruption of consciousness and light and art that we've all held inside. And why I wrote this book, all the books I've done in the past, I mean, heck, the first thing I wrote was Contribution to a College Textbook on Emotions and Business. You liberate that, that part of yourself, and that's what I needed to do, where it doesn't matter if my stories are getting robbed at gunpoint on mushrooms when I was 20 years old. It doesn't. You can share your stories, and everyone, we're really, that's why we like reality TV. We really like real, authentic storytelling. So I think that's what I want to share with people is it's a story. And
I think it's brilliant what you're saying. I think it's necessary. I'm glad you have the compassion, wisdom, and understanding to do what a lot of people need to. It's a way in for others, and you're brilliant.
Thank you, and you are too.
Drowning in the Light by Jared Rosen, and this is Ed and Deb Shapiro on Going Out of Your Mind. And have a wonderful week until we hear with you again.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We all need to go out of our mind at least once a day. By going out of your mind, you will quickly come to your senses. So thanks for going out of your mind with Ed and Deb. Be sure to join them next time. Go to vividlife.me for their up-and-coming shows and to listen to their archives on demand. Welcome to Going Out of Your Mind on Vivid Life Radio. On each show, you...
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.